Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you were away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, and you received no information. Is that correct?
Correct.
You weren't approached by anybody, is that correct?
Correct.
And you didn't see any media accounts, is that correct? Before we call our next witness, I'm going to give you a lengthy instruction concerning the dependency orders. I'm going to tell you that you're going to get this in writing at the end of the case before you begin to deliberate, but I'm going to go ahead and read it to you now. It should also be put up on the screen as well. I did it properly. Okay. Members of the jury, I told you that I would address the issue of contact allowed by the dependency court during Maya Kowalski's stay at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. This instruction explains the specific dates and restrictions the dependency court imposed in the five orders that address contact with Maya Kowalski. The restrictions changed over time, so understanding the dates is important. This instruction will be provided to you again in the court's final instructions to you. The court previously concluded that Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital had reasonable cause to initiate a call to the Florida's Child Abuse Hotline. Therefore, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital is immune from any civil claim which might otherwise result by reason of reporting the suspected abuse. Having said that, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital does not have immunity for any of the claims being presented to you as the jury. Prior to October 14th, 2016, there was no dependency court order governing Maya Kowalski's stay at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. From October 14, 2016 through January 13, 2017, Maya Kowalski could not be discharged from Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital without the dependency court's approval. The fact that Maya Kowalski was kept in the hospital under dependency court order, the length of her stay in the hospital, and the fact that Beata Kowalski could not visit Maya Kowalski are not matters for which Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital is responsible under any of the claims being presented to you. The dependency court placed Maya Kowalski in the shelter care of the Department of Children and Families. This status limited some of the parental rights of Jack and Beata Kowalski. It did not limit their right to be informed about Maya Kowalski's treatment and to participate in decisions concerning her treatment. The court will now instruct you on the relevant terms of the five dependency court orders. 1. The October 14, 2016 order. The dependency court entered its first order affecting contact with Maya Kowalski on Friday, October 14, 2016, which was effective at 2:30 a.m. on October 13, 2013. Beata Kowalski. The October 14th order totally prohibited Beata Kowalski from having any contact with Maya Kowalski, either in person or by other means, such as telephone, email, text message, or by any other form of electronic communication. Jack Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski. The October 14th order required that any visit between Maya Kowalski and Mr. Kowalski be supervised by an adult approved by the Department of Children and Families. Kyle Kowalski was permitted to visit Maya Kowalski with Mr. Kowalski. There was no time limit placed on these supervised visits. The department, not Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, was required to make all efforts to identify and select a supervisor to assist with the supervision of these visits. The Department of Children and Families is required to provide such supervision in the cases it files. This order did not create any special rules that the department was required to apply in setting the rules of supervision. The first order did not prevent Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital from applying its own rules regarding visitation and communication with other patients unless those rules conflicted with stricter requirements in the court order. That is to say, the hospital could not use its own rules to override the stricter rules in the court order. 2. The November 10th, 2016 order. The dependency court entered its second order affecting contact with Maya Kowalski on Thursday, November 10th, 2016. The second order changed the terms of the October 14th, 2016 order regarding contact on a going forward basis. Beata Kowalski. The November 10th order allowed Beata Kowalski to have supervised telephone calls with Maya Kowalski. The dependency court directed that either the guardian ad litem or the case manager supervise these telephone calls. The calls were to be at a time convenient to Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, as well as the guardian ad litem or case manager at the Department of Children and Families. The dependency court did not provide that Johns Hopkins could supervise the calls. The November 10th order also allowed Beata Kowalski to have contact with Maya Kowalski through written correspondence. Each of Maya Kowalski and Beata Kowalski could send the other letters, magazines, or other written materials. The dependency court required a designee of the Safe Children's Coalition to review the material before delivery. The designee was required to promptly forward approved materials to either Beata Kowalski or Maya Kowalski. Any material the Safe Children's Coalition designee determined to be inappropriate could be withheld, but the Safe Children's Coalition was required to advise the lawyers in the dependency action of the reasons the written material had been determined to be inappropriate. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital had no role in this process. Jack Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski. The dependency court's November 10th order allowed unsupervised telephone and in-person contact between Maya Kowalski and her father and brother. Mr. Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski did have to abide by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital's rules, policies, and visiting hours. Maya's treatment was to be given priority, but Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital was encouraged to provide Maya Kowalski as much contact with her father and brother as possible provided it did not interfere with Maya's care. Mr. Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski were prohibited from discussing Maya's pain, its causes, the allegations against her parents, or when or how the dependency action would be resolved. Mr. Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski were required to be positive about Maya's rehabilitation efforts and progress, and to follow the recommendation of the Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital staff as to how to interact with Maya. The number of visitors and the time of the visits required approval in advance, so no unannounced visits were permitted. Friends and other family members. The November 10th order allowed Maya Kowalski and Jack Kowalski to designate two of Maya's friends and two other relatives as proposed visitors, subject to a background check and clearance by the Department of Children and Families. Once cleared by the department, those individuals were allowed to have unsupervised visits with Maya Kowalski. These visits, though, were subject to the same conditions applicable to Mr. Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski, as discussed above in the November 10th order. Michael Kelly, Maya Kowalski's attorney. The November 10th order directed Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital to make the necessary arrangements for Michael Kelly, Maya's attorney, to have in-person and other or and secure telephonic The November 10th order directed Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital to make the necessary arrangements for Michael Kelly, Maya's attorney, to have in-person and secure telephonic confidential communication with Maya Kowalski. Other relevant requirements. The November 10th order allowed Maya Kowalski to have religious artifacts that did not interfere with her rehabilitation. The dependency court encouraged Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital to allow a Catholic priest to have regular contact with Maya. If a person authorized to have contact with Maya Kowalski violated Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital policy, the dependency court's order, or negatively affected Maya's rehabilitation, Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital was authorized to suspend that person's contact with Maya Kowalski. 3. The December 9th, 2016 order. The dependency court entered its third order affecting contact with Maya Kowalski on Friday, December 9th, 2016. This third order was a special order to address Maya Kowalski's birthday. It allowed Mr. Kowalski and Maya Kowalski's uncle, Scott Kowalski, to visit Maya on her birthday in accordance with Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital policies. The visit would only be permitted if, in the judgment of hospital staff, the visit would not adversely affect Maya's emotional condition or impede the hospital's rehabilitation efforts. 4. The December 16, 2016 order. The dependency court entered its fourth order affecting contact with Maya Kowalski on Friday, December 16, 2016. That fourth order changed some, but not all of the terms of the November 10th order. Beata Kowalski. The December 16th order permitted Beata Kowalski to have video contact with Maya via Skype, FaceTime, or similar electronic means at times and under conditions approved by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. The dependency court allowed Johns Hopkins to supervise these video calls, and its medical staff could suspend those calls. This was a change from the November 10th order. Despite that change to video calls, the December 16th order did not change the November 10th order's requirements for a designee of the Safe Children's Coalition to review the written materials between Maya Kowalski and Beata Kowalski. Jack Kowalski, and Kyle Kowalski. The December 16th order did not change the November 10th order concerning Jack Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski's contact and communication with Maya Kowalski. The provisions of the November 10th order continue to apply to Jack Kowalski and Kyle Kowalski. Mark Zimmerman, Maya Kowalski's attorney. The December 16th order directed that with reasonable notice to Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, Maya Kowalski was allowed to have secure and confidential communication with her attorney, Mark Zimmerman. This provision altered the identity of Maya Kowalski's attorney from the November 10th order and slightly altered the obligation on Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. Other relevant requirements. The December 16th order did not change the November 10th order concerning other relevant requirements. The other relevant requirement provisions of the November 10th order continued to apply. Five, the December 27th, 2016 order. The dependency court entered its fifth order affecting contact with Maya Kowalski on Tuesday, December 27th, 2016. That fifth order substantially changed contact with Maya on a going forward basis. Beata Kowalski. The dependency court's December 27th order allowed daily video calls with Maya Kowalski at approximately 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. daily. The dependency court permitted, but did not require, the guardian ad litem, the case manager from the department, or any member of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital staff to supervise the video calls. Beata Kowalski was not permitted to make any disparaging comments. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital was allowed to suspend the video call if Beata Kowalski violated the hospital's policy, the December 27th order, or acted to negatively affect Maya's rehabilitation. Jack Kowalski, Kyle Kowalski, Scott Kowalski, and Wendy Kowalski. The dependency court's December 27th order allowed each of Jack Kowalski, Kyle Kowalski, Scott Kowalski, Maya's uncle, and Wendy Kowalski, Maya's aunt, to have unsupervised, unlimited visitation with Maya. Jack Kowalski was required to announce the visit at least 2 hours in advance. These visitors were required to abide by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital visitation policy. They were not allowed to make any disparaging comments. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital was allowed to suspend any visit if that person violated the hospital's policy, the December 27th order, or acts to negatively affect Maya's rehabilitation. Other persons. The dependency court's December 27th order prevented any other persons besides the five Kowalski family members identified in the December 27th order from communicating with Maya. The order discharging Maya Kowalski from the hospital. The dependency court entered an order on January 13th, 2017, discharging Maya to her father's custody. At that time, the visitation orders ceased. That concludes the reading of the court's instruction to the juries. With that, we're now going to call our next witness.
Thank you. face the clerk and raise your right hand.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
All right, this way.
May I please record? Good afternoon.
Hi.
There's a microphone that's been pushed out of the way a little bit. If you want to, yeah.
Okay.
Make sure that you go ahead and say your name for the record, please.
Alicia Alcide.
Okay. Ms. Alcide, are you an employee of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
Yes.
Okay. And what is your position there?
Registered nurse.
And where do you currently work?
Right now, I'm a nurse coordinator for the muscular dystrophy clinic.
Okay, can you speak up just a little bit?
I'm a nurse coordinator for the muscular dystrophy clinic.
Okay. Prior to that, did you work on the seventh floor?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right, and at one point in time, at least January 6th of 2017, were you the bedside nurse for Maya Kowalski?
Yes.
All right. Let's back up a little bit and talk about your education and training. Okay. First of all, where did you go to school for nursing?
Florida A&M University.
And just tell us about your education when you graduated.
So I got my AA at College of Central Florida, transferred to Florida A&M University, where I got my BSN, and I also have my master's in public health from USF.
Okay, and when would you have gotten your BSN is a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing?
Yes.
Okay. And that makes you an RN at that point?
Yes.
And when did you get that?
I graduated in 2005. Yeah, 2005.
Okay. And tell us, take us through your employment up to joining All Children's.
I started working at All Children's in 2010.
Okay. Prior to 2010, where did you work?
I worked at a hospital in Ocala, Florida. It was called Monroe Regional Center at the time, but it's a different name now.
Okay. And you worked in that hospital?
Yes.
As an RN?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You are a pediatric nurse?
Correct.
Tell the jury why you felt called to be a pediatric nurse.
Well, so my brother was born with a hypoxic brain injury, which led him to have cerebral palsy, which is CP. And he, growing up, he just was sick a lot. He was in the hospital a lot, multiple doctor's visits. But throughout his life, the nurses were always really kind to him and my family, and they always took really good care of him. His home health nurses did as well, and I just knew I wanted to do what they were doing. I wanted to take care of children. I wanted to take care of kids. I wanted to help them like the way they helped my brother. So that's the reason why I wanted to be a pediatric nurse.
So thank you for sharing that.
And he's passed away, so that was many, many years ago.
So you started All Children's in 2010?
Yes.
And were you on the seventh floor?
Yes.
Okay. And remind the jury, they've heard, but remind the jury what type of floor is this, is the seventh floor, what type of patients?
It's a surgical neurosciences unit.
And for how long were you on the seventh floor?
12 years.
Okay. So it's fairly recently that you've changed your position?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the reason for the change?
I just had a change in life, and I needed to be more available to my daughter to take her to school and pick her up. That's not feasible with a 12-hour shift, so I had to find another job to be able to do that.
So back in 2016, 2017, what shift were you working?
It's the day shift.
And is that 12 hours, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just ask you a couple of questions. With respect to 7th, is it 7 North or is it just 7?
It's 7 North.
7 North, that's what I thought. Okay, with respect to 7 North, are there some rooms that have video cameras in them?
There is.
Are those just the EEG special rooms?
Yes.
With respect to regular patient rooms, do they have video cameras in them?
No.
Do you recall a social worker by the name of Kathy Beatty?
Yes.
Did you have much familiarity with Ms. Beatty?
Only with the patient I took care of.
Okay. All right. And I think we mentioned this, but on January 6, 2017, were you in fact assigned to be the bedside nurse for Maya Kowalski?
Yes.
Okay. Describe for the jury the duties or what your duties were as a bedside nurse.
As a bedside nurse, my job and my duty is to take care of my patient. That could involve in following the doctor's orders, the plan of care for the patient, administer medications, assist with ADLs, which is activities of daily living, helping with procedures, just and be an advocate for the patient and family, just whatever the patient needs.
With respect to your duties as a bedside nurse, would you sometimes have to assist patients either with dressing or bathing or other issues like that?
Yes.
Tell the jury, what was your goal with respect to protecting the modesty or dignity of your patients when you would have to assist with those types of activities?
Do you mean my patients in general?
Well, in general, and then we'll get to my
okay. Yeah. To protect their modesty. I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Sure, sure. So if you had to help a child either undress or bathe or assist them and those types of intimate type of things, what would you do or how would you try to protect their modesty and their dignity?
Okay. I would make sure that they are covered. If I couldn't get them into the bathroom, or if there was someone else in the room, I would ask them to leave. But I would make sure they're covered, and I would just protect their privacy.
Do you recall on January 6, 2017, that Maya Kowalski was going to be being discharged from the hospital to go to court?
Yes.
Can we bring up Joint Exhibit 1572? Thank you. Was it there? There it is. Freeze it. Okay. So, do you see your name on there, Miss Alcide? Let's see. Just above the continuous infusions, that line above there, it says result comment. Maybe you could highlight that for us. The second paragraph.
I see my name, but not where continuous infusion.
No. I was just directing.
Yes, I do see my name under medication administration.
Okay. I'm looking a little bit further down. It says 1-6-2017, 1056. Here we go. Thank you.
Okay.
Under result comment, it says Alicia D. Alcide. Is that you?
Yes.
And then it says patient discharged with uncle per court order will be readmitted today. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall, in fact, that Maya was going to court with her uncle that day?
Yes.
Okay. And so this is at 10:58. Does that mean that's the time that she actually left or on or about that time? That's why you charted it?
I can't say that's when she left. From me, this looks like a medication record. And just going by my documentation, I'm charting that I did not give her the flu vaccine because she was going to court.
Okay. But in any event, it's sometime that morning the patient had left with her uncle to go to court.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Prior to her leaving, were you requested by Ms. Beatty to assist with some photographs?
Yes.
Tell us what you recall about that.
Objection, call for narrative.
Sustain.
Okay. Tell us what you recall about what Ms. Beattie requested of you.
She asked me to assist to take some photos of Maya.
Okay. All right. Where did these photographs take place?
In her room.
In Maya's room?
Yes.
So Maya was not moved to another room in order to take the photos?
Objection leading.
Sustained.
Was Maya moved to another room to take the photos, or were they taken in her room?
I don't recall her being moved to another room to take pictures.
Okay. So your best memory is they were taken in her room?
Objection
correct.
Leading.
Correct.
Right. What did you have any concerns or thoughts of concerns when Ms. Beattie asked you to come in and assist with taking photos?
No.
And why not?
It didn't seem like a concern to me at the time.
Were you aware that Maya was there under a shelter order?
Yes.
Have you had experience with other kids being placed in the hospital under any type of dependency or shelter orders?
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Sure. In your experience as a nurse on 7 North, have you seen or been aware of other children that have been on that floor as a result of either shelter or dependency orders?
Yes.
Are you aware of other children where photographs have been taken?
Objection relevance.
Sustained. Okay.
With respect to Maya Kowalski's photographs, did your prior experience with... Let me start that. Did you have prior experience with other children being photographed?
Objection.
Sustained.
Okay. All right, so let's go to what actually occurred. Do you have detailed memories of what happened?
No.
Okay. But let's talk about what you do recall. All right? First of all, let me bring up Trial Exhibit 2604006. Okay. So this is stipulated, a picture taken on January 6, 2017, before Maya Kowalski went to court. Are you in that picture?
Those are my hands.
Those are your hands. Okay. All right. And I see that Maya is in pink shorts, and I think what's been referred to as either a training bra.
Leading.
Okay.
That one's okay.
Thank you. Do you see that Maya is in pink shorts and what would be referred to as a training bra or athletic bra?
Yes.
Okay. All right. With respect to your involvement when you entered the room, who would be the person that would assist Maya in getting undressed?
The bedside nurse, which would be me.
Okay. And with respect to the photographs that were taken that day, that morning, do you have any recollection of either you or Ms. Beattie holding Maya down?
No.
Do you have any recollection of Maya screaming or yelling no?
No.
If Maya had been screaming or yelling no, would you recall that?
Yes, I would recall that.
If you had held her down, would you remember that?
Yes, I would remember that.
If Ms. Beattie had held her down, would you remember that?
Yes.
All right. So, with respect to photographs that were taken that day, you would have left at 7 p.m.?
Yes.
Objection.
Well, yeah, my shift was from 7 a.m. to 7
p.m. Okay. So, if there were photographs taken after Maya returned that day, you wouldn't know about that, correct?
Objection. Leading.
Could you repeat the question?
Sustained on the leading.
Okay. Do you recall whether or not Maya had returned prior to you leaving for the day?
I don't remember.
Okay. All right. That's fine. All right. Can we put up Trial Exhibit 2604004? Is that your hand?
No.
With respect to, can we put up side by side 2604006 and 2604004? Okay. So, do you notice the difference in clothing in the photograph?
Yes.
Okay. So, can you describe the difference that you're observing?
In one picture, she has a shirt or jacket with colorful top underneath, and the other picture, she has on pink shorts and a white sports bra.
Okay. So, and then that's not your hand in the 2004 one, the one on the left?
No, that's not my hand.
Okay. There's been an assertion in this case, Ms. Alcide, that after the photos were taken with the pink shorts and the white bra, that you then stripped Maya, exposed her to Kathy Beattie, and put her in a different bra. Did that occur?
No.
And how do you know that?
I would not. What do you mean by expose?
That you stripped Maya naked, half naked, and Kathy Beattie was standing there watching you do it.
I would protect my patient and cover her up.
That's not something you would do?
No.
Do you recall, in fact, helping Maya change into an outfit to go to court?
Yes.
Do you recall what that outfit was?
I don't recall what it looked like, but it was a dress or a skirt, something of that type.
Okay. All right. So let's put up two 2604018 and 2604008 next to each other, please. Do you see those photographs, Ms. Alcide?
Yes.
Okay, so in those photographs, again, she's wearing different shorts, different bra, correct? Compared.
Objection, leading.
I'm going to overrule that one.
Okay. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Now, I do notice that there is in the 2604018, there appears to be a stuffed monkey of some or something. Do you see that?
Yes.
Would that indicate to you that this was Maya's room?
Yes.
Okay.
Objection, foundation, predicate. Overruled.
All right. Let's bring up 2604011 and 2604016. Okay. So, do you see the difference, any difference in that photograph with respect to the blue blanket?
Yes.
And what do you see is different?
In one photo, the photo on the right, you it's like it's neat. The photo on the left, it's not folded or it's kind of disheveled a little bit.
So, after the initial photographs were taken with the white bra and the pink shorts, did you, were there a second set of photos taken that morning, Ms. Alcide?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay. Did you strip Maya, put her back in shorts and a shirt, fold a blanket, and have her lie down again to take more photos?
Not that I can remember, no.
You can take this down. Um, to your recollection, was January 6, 2017, the first time you had been assigned as Maya's bedside nurse?
Yes.
Okay. Any particular reason, or that's just how it occurred?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay, but you do know that that was your first time of being a nurse?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Anderson.
Ms. Alcee, am I pronouncing correctly?
Yes.
The name. Hold on. So, right before this testimony, did you meet with the defense lawyers about your testimony?
I did meet with them, yes.
How long?
An hour, 30 minutes.
And before that, how many times?
None.
That was the first time?
Yes.
Any phone conversations?
We did have one phone conversation.
How long?
30 minutes.
Okay. Now, up to this point of Maya, you had never heard of a child having their clothes taken off for photos, had you?
Can you please repeat that?
Sure. Prior to this event with Maya Kowalski, you'd never heard of a child having their clothes taken off of them for photographs. True?
I've never said that.
Well,
no.
All right. So you have heard of children having their clothes taken off?
What do you mean by heard?
I mean, like Maya's taking all of her clothes except for short shorts and a bra like that. You do remember that happening before or not?
Yes.
Okay. With taking Do you remember your deposition of, August 24th, 2023?
Yes, I remember some of it, yes. Mm-hmm.
And you were sworn to tell the truth at that point?
Yes.
And that was what? How many months ago? Several months ago, I guess. Is it true at that point you could never remember?
Excuse me, your page?
Yes, page 28. Line 19. This was the only time in your career you had participated in something like this, that is, taking a child's clothes off.
Could you please reword what you're trying to question right now? Could you please reword?
Would you agree this was the only time in your career that you had participated in something like this? I mean, taking clothes off a child in order to photograph them.
Like me, myself, taking clothes off of a child?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, let me ask you if you gave this answer to this question. Beginning page 28, line 19, strike it. Isn't it true that this was the only time in your career that you had participated in something like this? And when I say something like this, I mean taking the clothes off of a child in order to take photographs of them. Answer, I can't really recall any other times. Do you recall giving that answer to that question?
Yes.
Would you like to see it to confirm or?
No.
And nobody from risk management called you about this, correct?
Called me about what?
Taking the photographs.
That I was when I was initially contacted about This, yes, they did tell, they wanted me to confirm that those were my hands in the photograph.
Okay, but I mean, at the time that it was done, had you been in contact with risk management?
No.
So your direct...
In 2017?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
So your directives on what you were supposed to do came from Ms. Beatty, is that right?
Correct.
All right. And during the course of this, you changed Maya's clothes, true?
Yes.
And, in fact, up until this point, well, strike that. It actually came to you or whoever else was in there taking Maya's clothes off to the point where large parts of her skin was exposed. Everything but her training bra and her short shorts. True?
Could you please repeat what you just said? There's
sure.
There's a lot of words. I'm trying to just...
Well, absolutely. You had never, up until this point, you couldn't recall how it happened that Maya's clothes came off to the point where large parts of her skin were exposed, everything but her training bra and short shorts.
Yes.
So that did happen.
What happened?
Maya's clothes were taken off down to the point where she was only wearing short shorts and a training bra, right?
Yes.
And you only remember one set of photographs being taken?
Yes.
Now, who else was in this room besides you and Miss Beatty?
I only recall me and her being in a room.
All right. Well, let's take a look at some photographs, because I could have sworn I heard you state on direct examination that those are not your hands. You have photograph.
What's the number? Tell us the number.
Well, it's 2604-006, but I'm looking for the one where the hand's pulling down. The counsel had it. Do you remember the number? You just had it up.
I know, I'm looking.
Thanks.
Zero zero four.
Can we bring that up? Can you see? Let me know when you can see that.
Okay,
no, I think, is that your hand there?
No.
So who else was in the room, ma'am?
I only recall me and Kathy being in the room with Maya. I don't know whose hand that is.
Okay. But it's not yours, right?
No.
We said if we look at 2604-006, there's a wedding ring on the hand of that person.
Those are my hands.
Those are your hands?
Yes.
The other hand we just saw going back to 004 did not have a wedding ring. I don't believe. Right hand there. True?
Correct.
Okay. So, in the photograph, so it would appear then that you and Ms. Beatty were not the only people in that room. True?
I did not say that. I'm saying that I only recall me and Kathy being in the room at the time.
Okay. There was only one set of photographs taken, right?
I did not say that. I know of a set of photographs that was taken.
Okay, but there was only one set of photographs taken, to the best of your knowledge.
Yes, that's...
This session.
Yes, this session of photographs.
And in this session, Maya Kowalski was changed how many times?
I don't recall all of the details of the the photos being taken, but I don't recall them, there being two different sets of photos taken with me being present.
I understand. So there's only one set of photos that we're aware of, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, in those photographs, in this session here, how many different sets of clothing did you put on and take off Maya?
I don't remember the details of the clothing, the taking them off and putting them on, but as a bedside nurse, I would have helped her.
Mm-hmm. So there was a different set of shorts on at some point, right? You recall those photographs?
I would have to see a picture. I only see these two pictures.
Okay. You can locate those. All right. And then we've got the pink shorts here, right? And then you testified you assisted with dressing her with a dress, was it, for court?
A dress or a skirt to go to court, yes.
Uh-huh. No skinny jeans, right?
No, I'm sorry, what was that?
Sorry. So that would be taking her out of the pink shorts and white training bra to put on the blue shorts and I guess that's another training bra or vice versa, right? That's one change.
Are you asking me a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
is that one? I'm asking if you could agree with me that that is one change that happened while the photographs were being taken to get her from the blue with the kind of floral pattern bra to the white training bra with the pink shorts.
I don't recall, as I stated earlier, I don't recall the details of the pictures being taken and the different clothes, but I don't recall putting two different sets of clothes on her. I only recall helping her put a dress on or a skirt to go to court.
Okay. Now, you don't recall actually putting up a blanket or a towel or anything to shield Maya in either of these changes, do you?
I don't recall any of the details of these pictures being taken, but I know that I take pride in my job as a nurse.
Yes,
in my profession, and if my patient was exposed, I would try my best to protect her privacy.
I understand that. I'm just saying in this instance, you can't remember whether that happened or not.
I cannot recall it.
Okay. Now, Ms. Beatty, she wasn't the social worker that was a regular on your floor. What was it? Something North?
Seven
North?
Yes.
Okay. The social workers, are they usually assigned, or did you have a social worker assigned to your floor?
We did. There were different social workers.
Okay.
I don't remember.
But generally speaking, a social worker would be assigned to a floor for a period of time?
Yes.
Okay. And when Maya was having her pictures taken, she was in distress, wasn't she?
I don't recall that.
She was crying, wasn't she?
I don't recall her crying.
She was protesting, "Don't do this. Don't take my clothes off," wasn't she?
I don't remember that.
We bring up 006 again. Do you see the bit of her mouth there?
Yes.
That doesn't look like she's smiling, does it?
It's hard to tell if I can't see her whole face.
Okay. And in fact, you were holding her hands there, to comfort her and support her. True?
It appears that she is holding my hands and I'm holding her hands back. And yes, as a nurse, I'm there to support my patient.
And comfort her.
And comfort.
Now, why would a 10-year-old girl need comforting and support if all that was going on there was just taking her photographs?
I don't understand what you're asking me right now.
Were you there when Maya was readmitted after court?
No.
That would have been on 8:18, I think, on a 24-hour clock on January 6th?
I don't remember that. I don't remember her coming back, no.
Okay. Can we bring up 1002-0249, I hope? Does this indicate that you were there on that day, the 6th, up to what, 6 o'clock at night?
Well, it looks like I charted not done, task duplication.
Okay. Maya came back before 6 o'clock at night, did she not?
I can't. I can't say yes to that. I can't agree to that just by this record.
Sure.
Because it says not done, task duplication.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Ms. Quarles?
Yes.
Can we put up, please, Trial Exhibit 2604007 and 2604018? Next to each other, please. Does this appear to you to be pretty much exactly the same pose in both photographs?
Objection, leading. Not leading.
Overruled that one.
Thank you.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. Sure. Is the photograph of 007, what is that a photograph of? Regarding Maya, what is that a photograph of?
It's a picture of her back.
Right. And what's the photograph of 018?
Picture of her back.
Okay. So, with respect to your recollection that morning, you've testified several times that you only recall one set of photographs being taken, correct?
Correct.
So photographs were taken after Maya came back, and after you were gone, you wouldn't know anything about that, correct?
Objection, leading. Overall.
Do you want me to repeat the question?
Sorry.
Would you know about any photographs that were taken after you ended your shift and were gone from the hospital?
No.
Even if they were taken the same day?
Correct.
Okay. So, with respect to these, they're calling it a set, but these multiple photographs with two different outfits taken that day that were produced, do you know whether or not all of those photographs were taken at the same time or two different times?
Leading.
Overall.
I can't recall. I don't know.
You don't know, right?
I don't know.
If they were taken two different times. However, okay, but you do you recall that with respect to assisting Maya with respect to getting ready to leave, that you helped her into some type of court attire?
Correct, yes.
All right. Let's talk about changing Maya. If Miss Beatty was in the room when you wanted to assist Maya with changing, what would you ask Miss Beatty to do?
I would ask her to leave, or I would take Maya into the bathroom. I would cover her up to make sure that she had privacy.
Okay, and why would you do that?
Because that's what I do as a nurse. I protect my patient.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
You covered her to protect her from Miss Beatty, correct?
Objection, Your Honor.
I don't recall the exact...
Sustained.
None further, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, do any of you have any questions? Try to do this at the sidebar.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Moto Casino is pure American energy. Born in the USA and with the same 1776 spirit that built this country. Moto, America's social casino, is celebrating that freedom with a 1 million sweeps coin prize giveaway. One lucky American is going to win 1 million sweeps coins. So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America.
America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.